This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
And welcome back to FM Talk 106.5's Midday Mobile. Jeff Poor filling in for the legendary Sean Sullivan. Always great to be with you. I want to introduce my next guest. He represents the five folks in Alabama's 4th Congressional District. You may not hear from me much down this way, but Congressman Robert Aderholt joins us on the line. Congressman, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great, Jeff. It's good to be on with you and good to be with your listeners especially in that part of the state. Of course, being from North Alabama, I always enjoy going down to the southern part of the state, and especially around the coastal areas. And so good to be on, and thanks for inviting me.
Hey, thanks for doing it. Let's get right into what's going on. First thing, I guess, there's a lot of buzz about the next phase of coronavirus, be it a stimulus. There's also some talk about a payroll tax cut, and it's really hard to figure out kind of why, I guess, Nancy Pelosi will agree to with McConnell and President Trump. What are you hearing on that side?
Well, yeah, you're right. It's really right now it's all over the map. I don't think there's really a clear-cut decision. I think right now what is just really today, I think yesterday, maybe beginning really today in earnest of really some discussions at the White House level and with the Senate. And of course, obviously, they want to get some type of agreement between the president and between the Senate, which are both Republicans, before they come in and bring Pelosi in on that mix. I think they want to have a something nailed down that would pass. Obviously, anything that Pelosi wants to do would not pass the Senate, and the president wouldn't sign. So if she really and truly wants to get some legislation through, then she's got to work with the president. She's got to work with the Senate. And right now, it's just very up in the air what it will be. And as you mentioned, it could be some payroll tax cuts that are included. I know the president is very keen on doing that. There's a discussion that has just surfaced just recently about money that goes to schools. To try to as the classrooms get back into a regular session this fall or whatever the case may be, and of course, how would that be distributed is another question. Is it going to be the states that are open would be where the money goes, or as more funding go to the states that do open? So right now, there's just a lot of questions that are still being, I think, discussed, and I think it'll be at least next week before we even really get any insight as what may be in this package.
Well, there's a lot. I've seen Nancy Pelosi on television more than I've ever seen her in her career. Chuck Schumer on a lot. They are really dead set on this Heroes Act. And there's some crazy things in that Heroes Act that they want to do, particularly with the voting and the mailing and voting to incentivize it. Yes. Do you see any of that making it through in this round of negotiations?
No. I think if they were to put that in there, there would be a deal breaker for the Republicans, because, you know, there's no way that Republicans, at least in my opinion, and I certainly hope that Mitch McConnell does not go along with trying to move forward with anything that would do some of this, nationalize our elections to mail-in ballots. And you know, the president has been very clear. He does not want to do that. So, you know, if we're trying to figure out a way to help some of the businesses and workers, then we need to keep it focused to that. So I really don't see that really happening. I know that there'll probably be some discussions about it. I'm sure that the Democrats will push the envelope on whatever they can to get through that, something like that in the package. But at the end of the day, I just don't see that Republicans are going to go along with that.
It's a presidential election cycle. The politics, I guess you got to figure out really what are the messaging components and what are things that are realistic. Is anything the Democrats have offered, any of the big ticket items, I guess, in the Heroes Act, is there anything that you see that is feasible?
Well, I think there could be some sort of direct payments again, but it would be more targeted. I think for people that are really in desperate need, I don't think there will be the blanket checks that will go out as before. because we now know we're a lot of businesses are open now that were not open then, and when the first round went out. So there's a lot have changed. Now, obviously, businesses are not up to 100% occupancy, and things are still so. You know, there's room, I think, to find some common ground and try to say, hey, if we're just trying to find help the folks that are really needed help, then, yes, I think there can be. But I think it'll be more targeted. I think that's what you'll see.
I want to switch gears here to the elections last Tuesday. You have a whole new slate of candidates. Tommy Tuberville headed in to take on incumbent U.S. Senator Doug Jones. You also got Barry Moore in the second and Jerry Carl here down here in the first congressional district. Do you feel good about those slate of candidates for Republicans and for federal office?
I have spoke to both of them since the election, both Jerry Carl and to Barry Moore. Both of them seem to be very excited about their November election. Both of them have an opponent in the fall, so they're not taking it for granted. But obviously, both of those districts are districts that, when I say lame Republican, I say really lame Republican. So they should be in good shape. But any candidate, never won't take anything for granted. Just, you know, I have an opponent in the fall as well, so I don't take that for granted either. But, you know, I think they're optimistic. They both seem very eager. I don't know either one of them very well, but we have chatted on the phone a couple times, and they I think that they will do a good job, and I look forward to having a chance to work with them.
And you know, with Trump at the top of the ballot, it's something you always say, and this audience may not be aware, but your congressional district is the most Trump congressional district in the country. With Trump at the top of the ballot.
Yes, in the last election, in 2016, it was. I don't see why it would not be number one Trump in the nation, give Trump the most support of any district in the nation again. I think he could actually do better than he did last time, but you know, I think there's going to be a lot of those districts across the country that are going to give Trump a lot of support. So I certainly think his reelection is in good shape. And then, let me rephrase that. Let me take good shape. I mean, again, we don't want to take anything for granted. I mean, and obviously there's a battleground state. So, but I think he's in much better shape than some of the liberal news media is trying to paint it as people are so much against Trump. I just don't believe those polls. I think that they are not polling correctly. They're not polling voters. They're just polling people that are calling on the phone. And who knows if they're calling in areas that, like New York and California, that are oversampled. So I just really, or even in different states, they're calling areas that are anti-Trump and very pro-Biden. So I think if the president stays the course, standing up for law and order, standing up for issues that less government, then I think he can definitely be reelected. And then, of course, I mentioned the other issue on the ballot, or the other candidate on the ballot that is the Senate race. And I've also talked with Tommy Tuberville. He and I had a nice chat last week over the phone, and he is again not taking anything for granted. He knows that Doug Jones has a lot of money, and he's going to say that the entire Democrat apparatus will be behind him, and they really want to take back the Senate. So he is they're doing everything they can. So he is working hard, but he certainly, you know, from our conversation, he seems to be focused on winning in November.
And just to piggyback on that real quick, I guess the point I was going to ask you was, with all of this turmoil and everything that's going on TV, it seems to me, at least, and you from a very, very Republican district, that the Republicans are perhaps more motivated than ever because they just don't like what they're seeing on TV. They don't like the way the media are acting, but they don't like seeing the you know, destruction to property and things like that. That's going to get Republicans across the country, and even more so in Republican districts, out to the polls in November.
That's exactly right. Is that the Republicans are much more motivated, I think, to vote for Trump than the Democrats are motivated to vote for Biden. That's the bottom line. Biden, of course, he's going to get a lot of anti-Trump votes, but there's not, you know, I don't sense that many people are just really excited about Joe Biden as a candidate. And he is, you know, someone I was talking to one of my colleagues just in the last day or two, and they were talking about how they saw an interview 4 years ago with Biden, and what a difference, you know, he comes across just within the last 4 years, and how he, you know, he's not as sharp as he once was. Now, of course, I never did agree with his politics most of the time, but you know, he could communicate pretty well, and you know, he certainly was a longtime member of the Senate and vice president. So, but you know, really, it's you know, I think Trump, when you put him side by side, Trump is seems to be 15, 20 years younger. So, even though they're a little bit closer in age than that.
Yeah, well, he certainly proved that in 16 with the like five rallies a day there at the end. Finally, winding down on this, one of your colleagues, John Lewis, passed last weekend. Yeah. You served with him for a long time in the Congress. So talk about him, if you would, a little bit.
Well, I got to know John. Of course, you know, he's a Democrat, I'm a Republican, but we're both from the South, and he's actually originally from Alabama. Most people, I think, don't realize that, but he was from down in Troy. He grew up there, and he's quick to remind you of that. And I had a chance to go down back in, I guess it was 2015, when they had the 50th anniversary of the march from Selma to Montgomery, and they did to commemorate that. And I had a chance to go down there and to commemorate that event with a lot of my Republican colleagues and Democrat colleagues. And, you know, had a chance to get to know him even better. But one thing that he and I had in common, but, you know, everybody knows him as John Lewis, but his real name is, he told me one day, he said, my name is John Roberts. And he said, that's what my mama always called me, with John Roberts. And so, I have, the last several years, I've had this ongoing, every time I would see him in the hallway, I'd say, hello, John Roberts. And I knew that no one else called him that, except I knew that his mother did. And of course, he didn't mind being called that. So we had that Robert connection, and that, of course, my name is Robert, and his middle name is Robert. So but he was one of the kindest individuals. I mean, he was very, when he speaking on his issues, he was very passionate, but you know, he just really, his demeanor around, you see him in the hallway, very friendly, you know, always just had a very, how are you doing today? And, you know, I just can't tell you what a kind individual he was. And he will be missed in the House, and of course across the nation.
Carson, we got to end it there, but I want to thank you for your time, and thank you for making time for the folks in Southwest Alabama today.
Well, I'm glad to be on. I hope to, when you're going to be filling in again, let me know. I'd love to be on.
All right, absolutely. That was Congressman Robert Adderholt here on the program. We're going to take a quick break and come back, wrap things up. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.